Hi, everybody. And welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. That's 866-606-8255. And connect with me online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today, I want to talk about how and why I try to convince people to homeschool. Education is the huge elephant in the room that nobody wants to acknowledge. It is the genesis of almost everything about our lives, about the things we have, the things we don't have, the things we think and believe, and the things we're not aware of. Everything can be traced back to our educational roots. And, you know, again, it's the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I love to talk about it. And I've mentioned a few times in the show how impolite the subject of education is in cocktail parties and among mixed company. But nevertheless, I always broach the subject. And actually, the subject comes to me. Just yesterday, I was sitting at the library trying to work on my book and work with my, I had a student and I had my kids there. And a mother, you know, comes by who I haven't seen in a while, sort of a friend, and she wants to talk about school. And inevitably, these sessions devolve into very lengthy complaint sessions. Everybody I know complains about school. They complain about the effect it has on their children. They complain about the teachers. They complain about the homework. The amount of unhappiness out there. I mean, it literally makes me want to scream. I wouldn't scream on this radio show, but I want to scream from the rafters that it's all about school and that the solution is so simple if you just pull your children out. Now, I've been doing this for many years, and I have, like anyone else, like any other advocate or evangelist, I have altered and evolved my approach when I try to convince people to homeschool. I don't just let them complain about school anymore. I get in their face a little bit. I confront them and I challenge them. And I say, hey, mom, hey, dad, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to complain? You know, your child's only in third or fourth grade. Are you going to do something? And I try to shift the conversation towards education outside the system. And then I'm fully armed with all my arguments, why they should do it and why the promised land is just a decision away from them. But it is a difficult conversation. It is very hard to get people to change what they've been doing. It's very hard to get parents to look outside of, you know, the school ecosystem which we've been born in. You know, what's that expression, the fish are in the water and they don't even realize they're wet. I'm not sure how the expression goes. Sorry for butchering it there. But people don't know there is life outside the school system. And I am, for many of them, I am that voice in the wilderness. Tim Ferriss, a super famous entrepreneur whose books have been bestsellers on the New York Times list forever. He's changed a lot of lives with his four-hour work week and his four-hour body, and he's invested in Uber and Twitter and all these technology companies at early stages. I believe he invested in Airbnb as well very early on. I mean, the man is a god in Silicon Valley. He has this quote, which I want to trot out right now. He says that a person's success in life can usually be measured by the number of uncomfortable conversations he or she is willing to have. And an uncomfortable conversation is exactly what the homeschooling conversation is. It's exactly what the parenting conversation is. I love it. I do not get discouraged. I used to get discouraged. I used to think that I was very close to converting people to pulling their kids out of school, ready to chalk one up into the win column for myself. And they'd have 19 reasons why they should pull their kids out of school, educate them independently, and they get hung up on that one. And I used to get emotionally let down when they wouldn't make the leap, they wouldn't take the step outside, they wouldn't trust me. Of course, these decisions are not really about me. They're about the children and the parents and the individual family, but I would still feel vested in it. Now I have a much more detached view of it. Now I have a much wider audience. People all over the globe communicate with me over email, through my website, through Facebook, over the phone. I work with people all over the country. I'm not as, let's just say, all in when I have a conversation with somebody. And I know that 99 out of 100 people that I talk to, I am not going to persuade. But when I do, I have a very sophisticated, very well rehearsed at this point, spiel, very well rehearsed sales pitch. And I always start it with the parents' long-term goals. Usually they're complaining about math, they're complaining about being overscheduled, they're complaining about the school not being receptive to their concerns, they're complaining about a particular teacher. And I just try to push all that aside and I say, well, what are your long-term goals for your children? And most people do not have long-term goals, or they're not well articulated, they're not tattooed at the the forefront of their consciousness. And if you don't have goals, whether you're trying to lose weight, trying to start a business, trying to get married, trying to do anything in life, if you don't have goals, there's another great expression. If you don't know where you're going, no wind is favorable. Now, of course, that's a sailing reference, but it's true in all things. If you don't have long-term goals, then you don't know, you're kind of just getting pushed around by the tide and by the weather, and you might end up anywhere. And so that is where I try to center the discussion on long-term goals. What are your long-term goals for your children? And a lot of people, if they give an answer at all, and I say, and I calculate, I estimate that less than 10% of people will actually answer this question for me. If they give an answer at all, it's always, I want my kids to go to college, get into a good college, or I want them, to be happy. And the problem is college is not really a goal, because the world out there is littered with people who have useless college degrees, which are getting more and more expensive every year. So, it's a starting point. College is a starting point. If you want your child to get into a good college, you can try to reverse engineer what they would need to get into a good college and what you would need to do, say, today for them to get into that college. For example, if you want your child to go to a top-tier college and they're 10, 11, 12 years old, and I would strongly advise you to start an SAT prep. Yes, at 10, 11, 12 years old. And that is not the burden that it seems like. But, and I'm not advocating people go to college, but if you do have a goal, you can, take the steps and ask people how to get into college and start working towards it. But if you don't have any goal, then you're just, putting out fires every day, and someone rings your doorbell and says, hey, why don't we do this? Or can your child come over? And, you just let them go, or you just turn the TV on, or you just sign them up for camp because everyone else has signed them up for camp. And next thing you know, that kid's 18 years old. And because you didn't have long-term goals anchoring or guiding your educational and parental policies, then, the 18 years are gone and you haven't gone anywhere. You might be washed right back where you started, or you might be in a worse place, quite honestly. That happens a lot. So long-term goals are the key for me. And I can't emphasize enough how difficult this conversation is. And I really believe that it's easier to convert an atheist to believe in God, or even, a believer to believe that there is no God, than it is to convert somebody cold turkey from having their kids in school or planning to send their kids to school, and then getting them to make that switch where they will be, willing to at least experiment with education outside the system. I always tell people that when I get the phone call from parents who have made that leap, their voices are saturated in fear. They call me up. They say, hey, Dan, do you have a few minutes? And it's hushed tones. And, if I didn't know better, I would think somebody died. But people are scared to death. Parents are scared to death to go against the grain, to go against what they did with their, their own life, and what maybe some of their older kids have done, what everybody else in their social circle is doing, and, take that step that you have to take if you want to separate yourself, your family, from everybody else. I mean, if you want to raise 1% kids, and it's fashionable to bash 1%ers, but if you want to raise those 1% kids, you have to take 1% actions. And, you know, 1% action is probably just having a goal, just articulating it, and just letting that guide your decision. So that is my starting point. When I come back in the next segment, I'm going to talk about the specific objections people have to homeschooling, and then we're going to try to pivot from that to all the good stuff. If you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show, I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. We don't need no thought control. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today's show is about convincing people to home educate, or if we can not use that word, convincing people to educate their children outside the system, because there are myriad ways that it can be done. The word homeschooling is stigmatic, it's inaccurate, and I only use it with my website, homeschooldad.com, as a concession to Google and as a concession to the lexicon of the day. This time of year, I am very busy. My phone is ringing off the hook, and that's because the holidays are over, and a lot of parents are looking forward to next year, and a lot of parents are increasingly pulling their children out of the system, whether in fifth grade, sixth grade, third grade. I like to say that at age 10, it's the point of no return, but they're doing it nonetheless, and I would strongly advise anyone to do it at any age, even if the child is 17, because I think school is that deformative of an experience for children. And I think just being outside, the addition via subtraction is that powerful. All right, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Emma. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Hi. Sorry, I totally didn't hear what you just said because my cat just ran around my room.
Oh, I just said hi, and how can I help you today?
Oh, I was just wondering, so I know this guy who was homeschooled until college, and he doesn't, he's just kind of weird and doesn't really have very many, he doesn't really know how to interact with his friends very well, to be honest. Do you think that has anything to do with him, being homeschooled, or do you think that's just how he is?
Well, you know him, right? You said he's a friend of yours?
Yeah, I do.
So let me ask a question right back at you. If he was in school, do you think he would be the most popular person in the class, and he would be extroverted, and he would change fundamentally?
Well, I think the reason that I say that he's weird isn't because he doesn't know how to be extroverted, because he is. He just, doesn't really – he just says, strange things to his friends and, doesn't really know how to make plans, if that makes sense. When you spend time with him, it's very, last minute.
He's an individual, right? I mean, he's mm-hmm. – there are 3 million kids that don't go to school, and in that 3 million – swath, you're going to have all kinds, and anything else. You had Nazi soldiers who were honorable people, right? They weren't all evil. You had regular people in the middle of that, so you can't generalize and say that anything about any large group, especially one that has 3 million kids. But I understand what you're
absolutely.
saying. You're wondering whether or not if because people all have a limited experience or limited interaction with homeschoolers. If you see one person doing something, you could say, "Hey, wait a minute, maybe that's from homeschooling." And you know, I would caution you if you're thinking about homeschooling or thinking about forming a judgment on it, just to try to understand that he's one of 3 million. And it's very easy. Look, I know we all go through it. We're all biased by our personal experience.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And you know, a lot of people meet me and they say that, you know, I've changed their perspective about homeschooling because of what I do with my kids is totally different than what the few people they know who homeschool do. So it is dangerous. And you know, even like take something like environmentalism, right? Environmentalism used to be this bohemian hippie movement. And nobody, you know, you would say, "Oh, I'm not an environmentalist. You know, I like to flush the toilet or whatever." But now it's totally mainstream. And these things, they take time, and they definitely evolve, and they take on the color of the early proponents. So the early proponents of homeschooling were very countercultural, were very Christian, very family-centric. And the movement, in part, was dominated by them for a long time, and now it's broadening. And now it's not just a refuge for people who can't handle school, or for people who are allergic to, you know, everything out there, or people have reading problems. Now it is, and I'm going to get into this in the third segment. Now it is a aspirational option for people who say, "You know what? My kid could do fine in school. They could have lots of friends in school. They could get into a good college, but I think we could do better." So, you know, it just totally defies any type of, let's just say, you know, rules of thumb. Hey, Emma, I want to thank you for your call, and I'm going to get into in this segment some of the objections that I face. Thanks again for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. Have a good day.
Okay. Yeah, that is, there's an expression. It's for example is not proof. And just because you know someone who plays video games all day and they're a millionaire, that doesn't mean that your kid should play video games and that they'll still become a millionaire. You see these pro golfers, some of them do fundamentally incorrect things with their swing. They bend their left arm, they have a 10-finger grip, and they still made it to the PGA Tour. That's great, but if you're starting with a young child, you don't want to extrapolate from outliers. And it's very hard to not see strange people as outliers. And we are all a product of how we were raised. Even that child or that young man she's talking about, he's a product of how he was raised, whether he was homeschooled or not. So I only have a couple minutes left in this segment. I wanted to quickly get through some of the main objections that I hear every single day. I know that the question's going to be asked before it's even asked. Number one, parents lack the confidence to homeschool. They're scared. They don't think they're going to have the resources, the capacities to do it. And the interesting, ironic component of this objection is that the only reason people lack confidence is because they've never really done anything for themselves. They went through school passively, they went through college passively, and they probably have a corporate job where they're told what to do all the time. They've never really done anything from start to finish. They've never had a vision, figured out how to get it done, taken the action steps to get it done, and they've never experienced pure self-mastery. And so when they're confronted with something that looks hard, their gut response, their gut reflex is, "You know what? I don't think I could do that." So this is a big hurdle that I'm up against, the lack of confidence. A lot of parents also say they never have the patience to deal with their kids. They can't imagine what it would be like to have their kids home all day. Parents are also afraid that it would be too much work to homeschool, when really it's less work because you don't have to get in that pickup line at school. You don't have to fight with them over homework. You don't have to kick and scream to get them out of bed. All right, you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute.
We don't need no thought control.
Hi, everybody. And welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. You can also check out my son's website online at homeschoolson.com. He's doing something very interesting these days. He is launching his own podcast, so I'll talk more about that probably next week. Today, though, we're talking all about how to convince people to homeschool. Not many people are out there trying to convince others to homeschool. Even within the homeschooling community, you don't see a lot of evangelism, a lot of salesmanship out there. But I love it. I'm all over it. I will talk to anybody, anywhere, about why they should homeschool their kids. And one of the biggest objections is that, and this is totally understandable because I was there when I first heard about education outside the system as well, one of the biggest hurdles or obstacles is that parents cannot envision what their kids' life would be like if they didn't go to school. They can't see it. They don't understand that there's tremendous opportunities out there, that resources abound, and that homeschooling their kids will give them more liberty, more liberation and freedom than they've ever experienced before. Just before this show, I just rented a condominium in Florida. We're going to go next week. We're going to go for the entire month down to the beach in sunny Naples, Florida. And this is something, this is one of the reasons I tell people about Florida. I'm not to brag, but I'm trying to paint the picture. And, you know, the biggest objection that people have, or the most knee-jerk reaction, is what about socialization? And I've covered socialization on this show a lot. Socialization, again, is a word that's only used when talking about prisoners and homeschooling. It's not used in any other really context. But I believe that the problem with socialization is, or the question or the objection is not really about socialization. Again, it comes back to young parents not being able to envision what life would be like. And so I have to try to paint the picture, paint the picture of freedom, paint the picture of acceleration and all the good things that we do when I try to convince people to homeschool. All right, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. And how can I help you today?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good.
So I was calling in. My thoughts on the subject, I've always loved the idea of homeschooling, but I was just never so sure about the execution. I kind of feel like some parents, from my personal experiences with friends that I have that have been homeschooled that live in my neighborhood, some parents kind of are just like babying their kid or letting them do whatever they want during the day, and they don't really follow like a set curriculum. I was wondering, I'm a huge fan of compromise, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on there being some sort of like middle ground between homeschooling and public or private education. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. Jen, you have kids?
I don't have kids. I'm in my early 20s, but I do have, I said, I have a lot of friends growing up that were homeschooled. Some of them, you know, they liked it, and others kind of craved that social aspect being in public.
They felt like they were missing out on something.
Definitely. Like they wanted to go to prom. They wanted to experience homecoming, all that good stuff.
You're wondering about the middle ground. There is something called, and you can Google it, it's called after schooling. And when you first, you know, started speaking, you said you're very intrigued by the idea, or, you know, it sounds good, but you worry about the execution. And this, again, this is something we hear all the time. And people are afraid to make the whole step. They're wondering if they can make a partial step, put a toe in the water, somehow bridge the ground between, you know, group education and all the good things that homeschooling has to offer. And so, again, it's called after schooling. And I work with many parents who hire me to teach their kids math and chess and whatever on the weekends, even though the kids are in school. And they are doing this. And there's a lot of the supplementation, especially goes on in an area like New York City, where the kids are so overscheduled, so overbooked, and they have all these enrichment classes they take on weekends and after school, and they play their instruments. And so there is a huge after schooling movement or enrichment movement. The problem is that once middle school comes, the homework, and even sixth grade or fifth grade for some people, the homework, the weight of the homework crowds out the opportunity for anything additional. And it becomes downright suffocating in high school. So it's doable when the kids are very young, but it's not sustainable. And there are many people who started out on the PTA, being the room parents, doing all the enrichment, and then finally throwing their hands up and pulling their kids out at 11 or 12 and full-scale homeschooling them because they can see that they can get more done on a lot more done without, you know, jumping through the school hoops. So I just want to address, does that make sense to you that it could work early on, but maybe not when they're older? I mean, if a teenager plays one instrument or plays one sport, they're pretty much booked solid. I mean, wasn't that your experience when you were in school?
I get what you're saying. I guess I'm just concerned about I do want to have kids within the next 2 or 3 years, but I guess my main concern with homeschooling is just that they're not constantly surrounded in that social environment. And I understand that, you know, doing an after school program where they are experiencing that social aspect can be really good. But at the same time, I kind of feel like if I send them to an after school program after they've been studying with me all day at home, then
No, you're confusing the two things. So I'm talking about school kids go to after school programs. The homeschool kids, they take classes with other homeschool kids, and they might take classes with school kids as well. So yeah, I don't want to confuse the two issues.
Got it. But then when they graduate high school and they have to go, well, I guess you don't like the idea of college is what I got from
right.
your earlier segment. I wasn't clear on that, what you were trying to say about college.
Well, college is expensive. I mean, the idea of college, to go to college is fun. To pay for college and to recover from that is not so fun. The good colleges are $50,000 a year now. And, you know, if the kid doesn't come out earning, you know, probably $60,000 in a career that they know they're going to stick with, because you know, as you know, or as you probably witnessed, people change careers all the time now. People go to med school and they become a doctor and then they quit and they throw away $200,000-$300,000 worth of medical school loans. And unfortunately, our economy demands a lot more flexibility. And if a 19-year-old kid tells me they know what they want to do with the rest of their life, I'm gonna call them out on it, because nobody knows at 19. You know, you can't have enough exposure or experience to really know what you want to do. And so college is kind of like all in. It's a big commitment. It's a sunk cost. And I don't think it's nearly worth the money that they ask for. You know, college textbooks, I've seen them for $300 now, which is outrageous for a college textbook.
Oh, I totally understand. I just started paying off my student loans about 2 years ago. I agree that, like you said, college is expensive. People change their mind. People change what they want to do over time, especially when you're 19, 20, and you're forced by society to make the decision to go to college immediately after high school. But at the same time, a lot of jobs won't even look at your application or interview you if you don't have some sort of degree. I mean,
but what about Google? Google, there's a huge article. Google doesn't hire college grads. In other words, the tide is shifting. Yes, you can't get into med school. You can't get into, you can't become a lawyer. There are certain degreed, certified professions that they're going to require you have a college degree. But increasingly, that's being seen as actually discrimination. And not having a college degree is penalizing you less than ever before. I mean, if Google's going to hire you, say you go get a job at Google, then you put that on your resume. Nobody's going to care where you went to college, right? They're going to say, well, you worked at Google. You must be smart. And it's kind of in with the myth, you know. It's like you need a degree to earn money, you need a degree to get hired. And the first job I applied for, I went to an Ivy League college. I didn't sleep two nights a week in high school. I had, you know, 1480 on my SATs. I had an unbelievable job application, an unbelievable resume. And the first job I got, I put my resume in front of a guy. He didn't even look at it. His eyes didn't even look at it. He moved it to the side and he said, let's go for a walk. And we talked, and that was it. And it was like, that was my whole life right there on that piece of paper. And he didn't care. And, you know, that's kind of like when the gauntlet gets thrown down. And, you know, it took me a while to understand that my college education was meaningless. And I try to convince parents that, you know what, college is not a long-term goal. It may be a step on the way to a real long-term goal, whether it's wealth, health, happiness, marriage, or whatever, but it's not the goal. Hey, Jen, I want to thank you for your call. I enjoyed our discussion.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I love to talk to young kids because they're kind of at the, you know, they're at the crossroads of the real world and the school world. And that's where everything is crystal clear. You know, what next? Or what did I do before to get myself into this position? What about my loans? You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. Today, I've been talking all about what I do on a daily basis, and that is try to convince parents to homeschool. Well, I do a little more than that. I spend a lot of time actually homeschooling and working with students and clients and parents who have already making the leap. But I also spend a lot of time trying to convince people that the solution to all their problems is just a decision away. And I mean, this is an only an hour long show. I can't possibly cover everything, all the objections, all the arguments that I try to hurl at parents. In my journey, in my quest to get them to join me. I mentioned a few: lack of confidence, a lack of patience, the inability to imagine what life would be like. We just had a young lady call up, and she mentioned, you know, what about prom? Well, there are homeschool proms, and there are many kids who play on their local high school sports teams, even though they're educated outside the system. The Tim Tebow rule down in Florida. They're just so many other options, so many ways to skin this cat that is education. And what I generally do is I take these objections and I try to turn them in. I try to deliver the perfect retort. And the perfect retort is to take objections and to use them almost against the objector. For example, when people say it's too expensive to homeschool, I point out how it's actually a whole lot cheaper, and how we get deals on everything that we do, and how we can use Skype for lessons and use free resources, and how their private tutors and all the private school tuition just is massively more than what it costs to educate them outside the system. People mention, or parents object, that homeschooling is riskier, and I twist it around. I say, no, it's riskier to do what everybody else is doing. It's riskier to have your children raised by accident. It's riskier to hope that your kid can thrive in school, can survive the toxic peer culture, that can somehow not have the love of life and the love of learning snuffed out of them. I think it's riskier to put them on this path, this crowded path that leads to really only college. And college leads to what? I mean, that's riskier. I mentioned the expense of homeschooling. I had a dad. I'm talking to a dad in the process of talking to him. He has four kids. And I say, hey, look, you're already on the hook at $300,000 for a college education in about 5 or 6 years. It's almost already there. $300,000 times four, $1.2 million is what he's looking to spend on college for four kids. $1.2 million is basically $2 million in gross income. That's a lot of money. And even if you are going to send your kid to college, don't you want them to get into the best possible college? Don't you want them to be able to hit the ground running in college? I mean, no matter how you slice it, no matter what your goal is, whether it's college or not, the way to maximize your child's potential, the way to minimize your risks, the way to, you know, more freedom and happiness in your life is always on the side of educating your children independently, outside the school system on a customized curriculum that's designed and overseen by the parents, or even totally designed and regulated by the child themselves if they are mature enough to handle that. And this is what I do with my own kids. You know, I spend a lot of time with them early on to get them to the point where they can self-teach, where my daughter knows how to look up what a trapezoid is with Google rather than ask me, where my son can just utilize YouTube tutorials and learn how to create animations on Adobe and how to, you know, upload his podcast to iTunes, do all these things. He does it all on his own, and he's 11 years old. And so it is easier if you do it properly. Homeschooling is easier if you have a long-term goal and if you stay focused on that goal. And what I mean by stay focused, I mean, yeah, be a little bit diligent. Don't just try to do a little bit better in school. Try to unlock your kids' full potential. Do not waste time. Have them read when they're sitting at the restaurant. Don't just try to limit screen time. Eliminate screen time. I'm talking about the video games now. And while we're talking about long-term goals and the importance of long-term goals, just think about the stock market, for example. Would you rather invest in the stock market when you're 10 years old or when you're 40 and 50 years old? I mean, clearly, the earlier you invest, the sooner you can relax, the sooner you can retire, the sooner you'll be super happy, healthy, and maybe not healthy, but definitely wealthy. And the same thing goes for your kids. I encourage parents to invest in their kids very early and to invest a lot in them. And if they think that's going to require money or one parent working part-time or not at all, whatever they think that is, and none of this is actually really true. You can totally work while you homeschool your kids and while you accelerate your kids. But even if they believe that there was some cost to it, I encourage parents, and I encourage you, my listeners, to invest in your kids early on. It's like buying the stock market when you're 10 years old. It won't take long before the dividends will start rolling in. It won't take long before your kids are doing all the chores in the house, before they are setting their own long-term goals and working towards them. And this is what I preach. This is my passion. I will not stop preaching this, probably till the day I die. I found my cause. My cause is not the pollution, air pollution. It's mind pollution. And I won't stop, no matter how many people waste my time trash talking about how they're going to pull their kids out, trash talking about how much they value education and how close they are to doing it. I will not stop because this is all about children, and children are infinite wells of human potential, and I don't care whose kids they are. I'm excited to see children liberated and launched, and I'm very passionate about helping everyone who's interested. You have to have that iota of ambition, though. So check out my website. Get in touch with me if you want more help, or just keep listening to the show. But whatever you do, you know, start focusing on your goals and start taking some action and start accelerating those kids of yours. I'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.